From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Four more Palestinians were killed by Israeli fire near Gaza's border. That, according to local medics and the Gaza Health Ministry, as protesters gathered for a fourth week of demonstrations called the Great March of Return. Among the latest fatalities were a 15-year-old boy from Jabalia and a 29-year-old reportedly shot in an area east of Khan Yunis. A 25-year-old man died after being shot east of Jabalia, while a 24-year-old man was reportedly shot dead by Israeli fire in the northern Gaza Strip. According to Israel's military, some 3,000 Palestinian protesters took part in Friday's demonstration. The six-week protest began March 30th and is set to continue until May 15th, the anniversary of the so-called Nakba, or Great Catastrophe, when Palestinians were forced off their land during the establishment of the State of Israel. That date is also celebrated by the Israelis as Independence Day. Among the measures employed by the Israeli military against protesters was tear gas, and a journalist's credentials did not protect Hind Kudari, who was reporting for RT, from herself being tear gassed by Israel's military.
Oh my God, it's crazy. Everyone is running from the tear gas canisters. They're randomly shooting tear gas on everyone. Paramedics, journalists, civilians, protesters, everyone. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. We were covering the protest and coming closer to the protesters, and suddenly they intensively started to fire tear gas, and we were trapped by at least five tear gas canisters. We started to feel our nose and eyes burning. We couldn't even take a breath, and at that time I literally fainted. I didn't know what was going on, and it was not only me. There were paramedics, and there was a journalist that was directly shot in his hand. The Israeli forces are actually intending to target the Palestinian journalists and the paramedics. What's going on is ridiculous, how they're targeting everyone and no one's safe. Either it's a protester, a civilian, a paramedic, or a journalist.
Thus far, some 35 Palestinians have been killed and thousands wounded by Israeli gunfire. On Friday, Riyad Mansour, the permanent observer of the State of Palestine to the United Nations, held a press encounter on the situation in Palestine at UN headquarters in New York.
I want to thank my colleagues, the ambassador of Tunisia, the chair of the Arab group for this month, my colleague, the chargé of Kuwait, the Arab representative in the Security Council, and the ambassador of the League of Arab States, for being together now for the fourth week in a row after the continuation of the Israeli massacres against Palestinian civilians who are demonstrating in a peaceful way, especially in the Gaza Strip, but of course in other parts of the occupied territory and even beyond. As I was coming today to the UN, I passed by the intersection of 42nd and 2nd Avenue, and there are hundreds of Jews demonstrating against the Israeli mission, demanding condemnation of this massacre against the civilian population and requesting that it should be stopped and other things that they're asking for. We salute all those who are expressing solidarity with the Palestinian everywhere. And of course, we salute our people for their bravery and their steadfastness. We honor our martyrs and our injured people. And even yesterday, 20,000 Palestinians, Israelis demonstrated commemorating the Nakba, and which is for the Israelis' independence, but for the Palestinians' catastrophe and Nakba, as was articulated by Ayman Oudeh in an editorial article in the New York Times. For us, we send a letter, as usual, to the President of the Security Council, to the Secretary General, and to the President of the General Assembly, documenting all these crimes, including killing a child, which led to a brave statement by Mladenov, in which he said that he is now asking for an independent investigation in the killing of this child, and he received a message from the chief of staff of the Israeli army telling him that that was not helpful. And Mladenov responded by saying, really, this is not helpful. Killing Palestinian children is helpful for moving in the direction of peace. So as you see, the things are now unfolding of not leaving the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip to be alone, but people everywhere are rallying behind their peaceful call for their just cause and for their demand to return in accordance with Resolution 141. Of course, I reflected also in the letter the instructions from my leadership to demand from the Security Council to seriously consider providing protection for the civilian population. Since Israel abdicated its responsibility to provide protection for the civilian population, then it becomes the duty of the international community to deal seriously with this issue and to provide protection for the civilian population. Also, I just want to bring to your attention that I had a discussion with my colleague in Geneva today after the results of what happened today on the ground, and he will be beginning the consultations with members of the Human Rights Council so that the Council to shoulder its responsibility with the possibility of moving in the direction of the independent and transparent investigation. In this regard, we salute the special rapporteurs in Geneva who have been calling for investigation by the UN, and they do not accept that Israel, who is committing the crime, to be able to investigate itself. What is needed is an independent and transparent commission to conduct the investigation on these crimes, and it has to be established by the UN, and it has to be independent and transparent, because Israel cannot conduct such an independent investigation. And we support these calls by the special rapporteurs in Geneva, and we hope that this is creating the appropriate atmosphere for moving in the direction of the investigation, and most likely might be in the direction of the Council on Human Rights. We will continue to follow up these developments. We reiterate our position that what the Secretary General called for, to have an independent and transparent investigation, is still warranted, is correct. After we reached almost close to 40 Palestinian civilians killed and more than 4,500 injured, it seems that the Israeli occupying forces are not restraining themselves, they're not listening to anyone, and they are continuing with this massacre. And we do not accept that the international community to remain silent and paralyzed and not to act, including the Security Council and different parts of the UN. It is high time for all of them to move forward and to do something and to begin this investigation and to bring those criminals committing crimes against the civilian population to face justice. And it is our collective duty to do everything that we can in order to accomplish that objective. And I will give you a copy of the letter that we sent to the SG. You can make copies and share it among yourself. Yes, Edith, you are the one that...
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. When do you expect your colleague in Geneva to go to the Human Rights Council? Will it be next week, and do you foresee any opposition there to approving an independent commission or to do an independent, transparent investigation?
We were successful in the past of having three different kinds of fact-finding missions and commissions to investigate crimes committed by the Israeli occupying forces against our people through the Council on Human Rights. It has its own mechanisms in which, you know, an emergency meeting would require a number of countries to assign to agree to have an emergency meeting. Once all these formalities, after consulting with all political groups such as the Arab group and the OIC and others, these mechanisms are now unfolding. My colleague most likely will be calling for an urgent meeting of the Arab Council of Ambassadors early next week, so that to begin this process and other steps would follow that would be culminated in an emergency meeting of the Council that in it one can request through a resolution the formation of a body to investigate these crimes. So it takes some time, but at least through the discussion today and after the continuation of these massacres and after Israel announced that it will conduct an investigation which we do not accept. It cannot be independent. It cannot be credible. It has to be an independent, you know, investigation. As the special rapporteurs in the 17th of April communique that they issued in Geneva are saying it has to be done through the UN. In essence, they were saying it has to be done through the Council of Human Rights to authorize the formation of such a commission to begin the process of the investigation.
Which special rapporteur was
all of them. There are several special rapporteurs collectively issued a statement. I have a copy of it for those who wish to have it. I can give it to you to make copies and to share it. And it was very explicit, and it has very important, you know, articulations in it, especially that they do not think that Israel to investigate itself and the conduct of its army would be credible and would be authentic. So therefore, they are asking for an independent investigation through the process of the United Nations, meaning authorized and given a power through a decision in the UN system, such as the Council on Human Rights, or, you know, the Security Council or the General Assembly, so that it would have a mandate through a resolution to conduct this investigation, and then they will continue the work. Abdul Hamid.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. I mean, history had taught us that Israel doesn't give any attention to these investigation teams. In 2006, Desmond Tutu investigated a Beit Hanun massacre. Nothing happened. In 2009, Goldstone investigated the war in Gaza. Nothing happened. In 2014, Mohammed Shabazz investigated the war in Gaza, and nothing happened. In even 2002, Marty Ihtisari was denied to enter to investigate the Jenin massacre. What is different this time? Nothing will happen. Why the PA, why the Palestinian Authority does not go straight to ICC? Thank you.
You know, one need to pay attention to the technical parts. I believe that Israel recently announced that it will investigate its conduct precisely not to allow the ICC to proceed with investigation, because we all know that in the ICC and the Rome Statute of the ICC, there is the concept of complementarity, which means that if somebody conducting crimes is willing or able to conduct the crime and to do it through the national court system, then the ICC will not come into play. I was telling my colleague in Geneva and others that this is a very sophisticated process in which Israel will make a move, and we have to make a cleverer move than what they do. The move that they made is to neutralize the ICC after the prosecutor made an articulation about two or three weeks ago to consider investigation. So since Israel is saying now that they will conduct an investigation about the conduct of their armed forces and their officers, which they were not considering during the first week of the episodes in Gaza, now the ICC, in my opinion, Of course, it is the decision for the ICC to do what they want to do, and I would be delighted if the ICC to engage in an investigation. But it is very conceivable that the ICC now would say, we will not go in that direction because Israel is investigating itself. What we are saying, we do not accept Israel to investigate itself, because it is the party that committed the crime. So therefore now, you need to move in the direction of bodies where they can give mandate to the formation of commissions to conduct the investigation. This is one thing. The second thing, of course, there is a lot of frustration. You establish commissions to investigate, but Israel does not comply. Does this mean that we have to fold the tent and not to come knocking on the door of the Security Council or the General Assembly or the Council on Human Rights or the ICC? On the contrary. I was telling today a television station in Gaza that called me about something, a similar sentiment to what you said. I said, at least in my mission here at the United Nations, we learned from the creativity and the resiliency of our people in Gaza. They demonstrate every Friday. If people tell them, well, you did not accomplish anything the first Friday, you did not accomplish anything the second Friday, you did not accomplish anything the third Friday, then the logic of it, there is no sense in continuing this protracted step-by-step continuation of the struggle. I said to them, I learned from your brilliance that I keep knocking on the door of the Security Council. I keep trying to establish a commission to investigate after another commission, because collectively, when we do all these things, one of these days, and hopefully soon, we will reach the point in which the Israeli system of occupation will collapse and we will succeed in ending this occupation and attaining the independence of our state. There's a lot of wisdom in learning from their tenacity and patience and peaceful way of doing things, and I am trying my best to learn from their wisdom as I apply my work as the mission of the State of Palestine to the United Nations. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, thanks a lot. Speaking of the Security Council, as you know, they've gone on retreat, they say, to deal with the most pressing issues. And they've definitely listed Syria, chemical weapons. Ms. Nakamitsu is going. I'm wondering, do you know or have you requested that they deal with this issue while all 15 of them are in Dag Hammarskjöld's farmhouse? And is Mr. Mladenov going? We asked who's going from the Secretariat to raise the issues for them. Do you think that they can deal with this while they're in Sweden, or is it a back burner issue for them?
I don't know what they will deal with in Sweden, but I can tell you that there is an open debate on the 26th of this month in the Security Council. And there will be, I expect, at least 50 countries that will be participating in that open debate, for everyone in all corners of the globe to be able to see it openly and live on television, you know, production. I am calling all of my colleagues from all nations to come and participate in that debate and make it a debate that concentrates heavily on several things, including the heroic thing that our people are doing, particularly in the Gaza Strip, peacefully, to express themselves and to fight for their right to return as it will be culminated in May 15th. So in that open debate, we will deal with all of these issues, those of us who will participate in that debate. I will be meeting with Mladenov on the 25th, bilaterally. I expect him to be the one who will be giving the briefing on behalf of the Secretary General, and judging from the encounter between him and the Chief of Staff of the Israeli Army, it seems that he is coming with a bolder spirit of challenging the atrocities of the Israeli occupying army, particularly in killing children. If he comes with that spirit and give a briefing of that nature, that would be what is needed from the international community to be, you know, shared with the members of the Security Council. But my friend from Kuwait, he is the member of the Security Council, might like, you know, to say a few things in this regard. And he is welcome to say it if he wants, or Maggid.
Mr. Ambassador Utaybi last week told us that he will be conducting a meeting with the 10 elected members of the Security Council. Can you update us on that? Thank you.
Sure. I'm not going to add more for whatever my colleagues have spoke to about. I'm going to speak as when it comes to the Security Council, as an Arab member of the Security Council. Yes, there is an upcoming E10 meeting. Yes, we are in the progress to hold the meeting. As you have seen, the PR is now in Sweden. So when they are back from Sweden, there is another trip that will be to Myanmar and Bangladesh. So probably after the trip, we'll arrange for an E10 meeting. Or in between, if their time allows. I just want to reconfirm our position when it comes to the incidents in Palestine. We condemn in the strongest language whatever happening on the ground, the aggression against the Palestinians, and we call for three things. We would like them to be taken immediately, which is immediate protection of the civilian Palestinians and accountability. Without accountability, the occupying power will continue with their action. And last thing is independent investigations. And as you are all aware, we have called for an emergency session, and you are all aware, we try to produce two press statements. Unfortunately, the Council won't be able to agree on it, despite of the overwhelming support we received from our colleagues in the Council. If there is any question regarding the Council, I will be happy to take it.
Follow up. I have a question to the Arab League, actually, the ambassador of the Arab League. Thank you. So which steps are you, as an Arab League, willing to take to support Palestinians on the ground, and especially the two countries that have direct relationships with Israel, Jordan and Egypt? Are they going to make any pressure on the Israeli government, since they have direct relationship, to be more helpful and supportive to Palestinian people?
Well, I think that you must have been following what happened in the Arab Summit that happened last Sunday, and the mere fact that the Arab Summit has been called the Jerusalem Summit to start with is a clear reflection, and the strongest support that came out in the summit for in support of the Palestinian right for demonstration and in condemnation of the Israeli actions against international law, international humanitarian law, and international human rights law. These are providing the basis for everybody, including even Security Council that is not here, but we expect that the Security Council has taken note of the decisions that have been taken by the Arab Summit. As for actions that are taken by the Arab League, we are in continuous support of the Palestinian moves, including in submissions to the Security Council, and we're supportive through the consultations with individual members of the Security Council. As for Egypt and Jordan, I have not been personally in contact with both of them. You might want to ask their ambassadors individually about these issues. Yes, I come from Egypt, but I can't talk for the Egyptian government. Thank you.
It seems Saudi Arabia Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman likes to have a good relationship with Israel. Don't you think this kind of behavior makes your efforts useless?
As the ambassador of the League of Arab States, you know, we had a very successful Arab summit in Saudi Arabia. It was called the Summit of Al-Quds, which reflects that the Arab states are rallying behind the correct position of rejecting the new policy of the Trump administration vis-a-vis Jerusalem. There were 22 pages of paragraphs as part of the final document and resolutions related to the different aspects of supporting the position of the Palestinian people and their leadership. And there were also practical steps in the financial side of supporting our people in Jerusalem and UNRWA after the United States of America cut off a substantial amount of money to UNRWA. We are satisfied with these steps by, you know, the Arab summits that took place in Saudi Arabia. That is a concrete political and materialistic support for the cause of the Palestinian people, demonstrated by the, all the Arab nations, and we are grateful for that. Let me also add on another subject. We will continue as Arabs. We were mandated in this summit to do everything possible in order, you know, to explain why Israel does not qualify for a seat in the Security Council. If a country like Israel, which has an atrocious record in not respecting, honoring, and implementing Security Council resolutions on different issues, including Jerusalem and other issues, and for the Israeli government and their representative who attack the Security Council day in and day out continuously and violate international law and violate the will of the international community as it is reflected by the so many resolutions of the United Nations, including the Security Council, a country that behaves in this manner and violates all the rules of the club does not qualify to run to be an officer in that club. And in fact, for any club that a member to behave that way would be fired and kicked out from that club for not playing by the rules and the provisions of that club. Therefore, we have been instructed to act in a very effective way in order to intensify our campaigns for saying those who should be in the Security Council should honor and respect and implement Security Council resolutions as it is asked for as an obligation in the Charter of the UN. And we will continue to campaign in this regard in all possible ways and, you know, to support those who do qualify to be in the Security Council, and we will, and Israel is not one of them.
Last question to my Tunisian ambassador. Your country is well known to be a very respected country around the world with the rule of law, and maybe you have a good relation with the United States. Does international law have two meanings? I mean, one applies to North Korea and Syria, and one applies to the Palestinian. How cannot you argue so strongly with some member of the Security Council who tried to give two different definitions? One applied to North Korea and Syria and chemical weapons, but not when it comes to the Palestinians. Thank you.
You know, we're not finding out now that there the double standard in United Nations and other institutions. It's part of international relations, and we are coping with it as a group, as a whole. We know that we are calling, the most important thing is, and this is a call of not only the Arab group, but a call of majority of member states here to bridge the gap between international agenda and national agenda, or to find the best balance between the two of them. And this is what we are doing here. This is reality on the ground. We have our mission, we have our expectation. The main thing, the main task of our group is to uphold the international law, the international humanitarian law, and international human rights. And we will not give up to this. This is our main task here, our mandate. Of course, in upholding all these instruments and tools, this is the basis of our support of the Palestinian question and the Jerusalem question during this month and during the next month and years. It's a constant position of all of us because of Palestine and because we believe that is the international legality and the international law and respect and the upholding for human rights law. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Edith, give Abdelhamid a copy, please.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.